Kevin.
Hey, Tara.
It's been a while.
It has been a while. We've been out of the spaceship, but you wouldn't know that because
we're still in your ears every week.
We keep a hot hand. Can we say congratulations?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks.
You want to say what just happened?
I interviewed Saba at the Apple Store
on the day
that Care for Me came out.
Yeah. And you did a great job.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was really great. It was a beautiful event, and it's a beautiful album. And it is. It's
different.
So different. Heavy.
But different good.
Oh yeah.
But so it's so interesting because you can hear his growth, but it's so like apparent, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not always like with a lot of artists. I feel like it's not always so like in your face.
Well, and that's the nice thing I think about this record is that it is contemplative and. You know, rightfully mournful and beautiful and you know, heavy. And it was, you know, as a fan, it was beautiful to see him go, you know, take that route of introspection in that way.
Upon reflection, I think that was my 7th time interviewing him.
Okay. Well, you misspoke earlier, but that's okay. You're a fan.
Yeah.
We got great guests in the building.
We do.
Yeah. They run an incredible party that's really a movement, I would say. You know, I think that there is a, and has been historically, particularly in Chicago, a cadre of Latinx artists who have consistently pulled community together, kept communities together, in part because of the culture. And so Pechanga is a party ran by two of our guests who are here, organizers, curators, activists, people who are certainly literally putting on for the culture and putting the culture on and bringing the culture together. Without further ado, welcome to the Corner Store from Pechanga, Danny and Memo.
Hey.
Finally, yeah, one time in my life. Yeah. Fellas, welcome, man.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, of course. You know, we want to, of course, talk about what you guys do and where you're from, but...
First and foremost...
We do have some snacks for y'all.
Cool.
Yay.
Yes. Here we go. So I got, because I knew there was two of you, so we have, you know, a lot of snacks, basically.
Right.
So, you know, feel free to share Flop amongst yourselves.
Yeah, you know.
There's a lot of people in the room tonight, if you wish to share some sweet plantain chips for you guys. I hope that's not racist.
Thank you. No, not at all. Those are delicious.
Also, to balance the racism, I also got some organic teriyaki premium roasted seaweed for you, because I couldn't go to a corner store. I went to Whole Foods.
Yes.
Wow.
Also, wait, what about a ginger ale? Do you guys like ginger ale? Yeah,
I'm
Mick Jenkins
I'm
does.
I'm not a fan.
Okay. No,
Memo
I'll
does.
Take this. I'll take this.
Whole Foods can be a fancy corner store.
Yeah. Yo, I like their sodas at Whole Foods.
What would you like, a cherry vanilla soda?
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. Yeah. And it doesn't stop there, fellas, okay? You would think.
I'm excited. This is
it's a little bit like amazing. Those are my cough drops. Hold on. Wait, those are some other things. Hold on.
I love this.
Guys, some sour worms?
Yes.
Yeah, those sure. are probably horrible for you, but they're organic. So, and then finally, two dark chocolate peanut butter cups.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
thank
just
you.
To mix
those
them.
Are so
okay,
good.
I'm so excited for this.
All right, good.
Yeah,
y'all better
we're definitely
share
down
that
to
one.
Share. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Maybe cut them up in eighths. You know.
Oh, I meant one to each. Sometimes I will not share that.
What?
The cupcake. The
you wouldn't share that
cups.
Why?
No.
Oh, you can have one, totally. Go ahead.
Oh, damn.
No, if I was in your seats, all for me.
Yeah, that we call that colonial giving.
First of all,
you give it, you take it away.
I'm a brown
anyway.
Woman, and
no, I know, but I'm just saying. Like, hey, look, man. Sometimes the sometimes the oppressed mirror the practices of the oppressor. Anyway, the point is that I'm not saying you are. I'm just saying sometimes that happens.
That's real rich coming from anyway.
Hey, wow, so to speak. That's racist, by the way. Rich Jew. Anyway,
listen,
the point
Jews
is,
Jews and Indians are both frugal people.
Hey, okay? And good at math, except I'm not.
Me neither.
There you have it. Wow, damn. That's why we're doing this podcast for free right now. We need sponsors. Gentlemen, hi.
Hey.
So, fellas, why don't we set the stage by just saying what Pechanga is, and then we want to know kind of how you got there. But first and foremost, for folks who don't know, who are not privy to the party, what goes on, and kind of describe what it is, please.
Go ahead, Memo. I'll let you take the lead on this one.
Cool. So we just had our 1 year anniversary where
congrats, man. That's big.
What was that, 2 weeks? Yeah. What was that, 2 weeks ago?
Mm-hmm. 2 weeks.
So 2 weeks ago, we had our 1 year anniversary, and over one year we've kind of changed a lot of things or kind of found ways to, I don't know, make it different. Each one has been a little bit different. But with our one year, we kind of brought it back to what it was originally, which was kind of mimicking the Latin American street festivals, kind of getting the vibe of getting vendors, artists, what's called a Tianguis artist market, and also inviting badass musicians to perform, and some of Chicago's biggest Latin DJs in one room, and kind of just theming it out and decorating it and making people feel an experience. So kind of very much mimicking Latin American street festivals. That's what we wanted to do. And over time, we've brought in different musicians and just different elements to kind of make that shine. But it's changed over time, and we found different ways to make it, you know, just a different experience every time. I don't know. What would you add to
it? Yeah, and it's definitely grown. We've, along with our Wednesday nights at East Room, we've grown into weekends at Subterranean. And we'll bring in a bigger artist. We'll do three bands on the top floor. We'll do three DJs on the bottom floor. And it's just, you know, we'll get like 400 or 500 people in there, you know. And it's just unbelievable because everybody's having fun. Everybody's safe. Everybody's pretty much respectful. You know, we have to put out some fires here and there, but
sure,
you know,
it's
we
a party. You know,
yeah. We take care of that right away. And you know, it's just been a really great experience working with people such as Memo. We have a great graphic designer, Alex Castro. She does amazing artwork for us. She really sets the aesthetic.
Yeah, the flyers are beautiful.
Yeah, she sets the aesthetic for us. And then we have another video guy, Frank, and our booking agent. He's actually in Florida right now.
So it's a whole team that you've been building.
Yeah, and it's just really cool to build something with a lot of really positive people, you know? So, yeah.
And what was it about a year ago that made you want to begin Pachanga? And also for our gringo listeners, what does Pachanga mean?
Pachanga is basically, it's just a big party, right, Memo?
Yeah, it's a celebration. Just another word for celebration. Yeah, big party, gathering.
It's just like a cookout. It's like the weekend party where, you know, every aunt, uncle, grandma, cousin, the babies are up
to... It's a function.
Yeah, like the two-year-olds are up to like 10 p.m., 11 p.m.
Nobody's
sleeping.
Yeah, right.
That's a bustin' as a kid.
Running around. God, yeah. The little kids.
Yeah. And, you know, everybody's, you know, that's what it is, you know. And,
so a year ago, I mean, how did the origination of the idea come about, and what, I mean, yeah, a year ago, what was the conditions that made you guys want to begin?
So I had started at East, I've been at East Room for almost 2 years now. Shout out to 1833, Zach, Eastman.
Tara, you are familiar with the East Room.
I know nothing of
it. Okay, I thought.
I know
okay.
Nothing.
All right, I thought.
Brandon.
Not wrong.
My mistake. Yeah, no, that's my bad.
Brandon Shotwell and Blake and all them over there. And Tyler, they gave me Wednesday nights almost 2 years ago, and you know, I was throwing events here and there, but they were going okay. And then I started doing these events, and I noticed when I would get more of like more of like a hip hop or like a Latin night, more people would come out. And then I reached out to Memo over here, and I asked him for help on putting together the events, because I had seen what he was doing on like social media with his events and how big his parties were. I was like, well, we can probably do something really cool together.
Wow. So you guys were doing separate parties and just were aware of each other because of the scene?
Yeah, so I had heard of East Room, and Dan, we had worked together maybe like 5-6 years ago, right? For like community festivals, kind of booking bands, and but we never really worked together after, you know, years. And so I was actually in Mexico. I had gone to Mexico for about a month. I had just quit my job, and I wanted to kind of throw myself in the music industry kind of full-time. And so Dan hit me up while I was in Mexico, and the Mexico trip was more of kind of my escape to kind of, you know, restart. And we have this conversation. We meet each other for lunch out in Oak Park, and we're just talking about ideas. This is after I come back from Mexico, and I go to one of his events, and we just brainstorm on how to create an event that, you know, we can both theme out and bring out a community. Dan was very involved with a lot of the musicians already in Chicago. A lot of Latino musicians in Chicago were, you know Dan because he's also a photographer. He's a man of many, many skills.
Yeah. No, we met at Pitchfork. He took the our photo at Pitchfork at our reading there, the Breakbeat reading there.
So he's a community man, and he just has a big, big heart. And so we just got together, and I think we clicked. And there was just working together has been amazing. I think it kind of just took on from there.
Dope.
I think that it does fill a hole, you know, that's needed in the scene. I mean, obviously, Chicago has a very big Latinx community. You know, a lot of Mexicans, Puerto Ricans. I live in Humboldt, you know.
Oh, yeah, totally.
I live in Paseo. Sorry, I'm going to say it wrong. I live between the flags.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. But no, I think it really fills a hole. And is that something y'all noticed?
Yeah, because I don't know if you both of you are familiar with the Cumbia Salsa party.
Yeah, sure.
So they sort of took a break and whatnot. But
where was that one?
In part because the double door closed, right? So
they
were like
rocking
at the double door. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was a very live party too.
Yeah, and we sort of with the support of the Cumbia Salsa people, Calixta especially, I don't know if you're familiar mm-hmm. with her. She's one of the founders, and David Itzinella.
I know David well.
With their support, with their full support, they really held back our party as well. And we're sort of filled the void of what they did, but we have like sort of a different vibe. We don't even have the same crowd. And that's the thing that we really kind of like, you know, that a lot of people who went to Cumbia Salsa, they'll come to our events and they'll say, I don't know anybody in here.
Well, that was a dance night, and in part a dance night for a dance community that needed to be pulled together, but also existed in some other spaces,
yeah.
in part from some other clubs, too.
Yeah, exactly.
That had fallen by the wayside and everything like that. And it seems what you guys are doing is galvanizing a new community of young Latinx people and also bringing together and bringing out artists from multiple genres, which is very fresh. And so, you know, that was a room of DJs and, you know, people who wanted to vibe and dance specifically. And it seems like you guys are... Yeah, maybe throwing that more communal for every kind of person of the spectrum type of party. You know?
Yeah, exactly. And our demographic, I would say, it's probably between like 21 and 25. But we get people of all backgrounds. We get like black, white, Asian, you know, not only Latinos. We get like the Puerto Ricans. We get the Mexican crowd. And it's so beautiful to see like all these groups of people just having fun together.
Yeah. Well, to Tara's point, I think, like, what is, you know, how if you could do, like, a little State of the Union of Latinx culture right now, like,
and
where...
And also the word Latinx, you know, I mean, I think it's just, like, a very young concept. It's new to me, you mm-hmm. know, personally. And,
yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, I don't know if, like, all of our listeners understand the concept, maybe.
Do you guys use that in your description of the...
You know what? We don't. Do we use it?
We do. We do. I think we try to be as inclusive as possible. We do use Latinx, but I think there's also kind of like there's actually an argument between Latinx and whether you use Latinx or Latino mm-hmm. or Latina. Our thing is like, you know, we don't want to impose any philosophy onto anyone.
Right, so X is the absence of gender.
Exactly.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Or just the notion that gender itself is
fluid,
a ridiculous
binary,
dichotomy.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's something that we totally, like, you know, we agree with as well. You know, we don't see anything wrong with that as well, you know.
But there are still people who call themselves Latino, Latina. And
yeah,
so,
yeah.
I get it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Word. Well, okay. Well, that being said, right, I'm glad we cleared that up. I think
right.
that's good.
Yeah, totally.
We should have a little glossary at the end of each episode. You know what I mean?
Listen,
where we could, yeah.
I love glossaries and stuff.
No, I do too.
Dictionaries.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Listen, you already know.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, I want to know.
Please.
Where y'all are from. Like your family, you know.
Oh, so Memo, you go first.
So raised in Cicero, born in Chicago. My parents are from actually they live in Guanajuato, Mexico. It's the state of Guanajuato. And that's actually one of the reasons I go to Mexico quite often, because my parents live out there, very, very attached to my parents, to my family. And actually, my dad's from Michoacan, so I go to two different states when I go to Mexico, so very, very rooted in my Mexican heritage. Yeah.
And did they move back?
They moved back, so they lived what we call the Mexican dream, where they saved up. From working in the factories, from working my dad actually worked at this big chemical plant for many, many years, for I'm going to say like 15, 20 years. And so just, from saving, penny pinching and just saving as much as possible, along with my mom, she worked at McDonald's for many years. They were able to save up and watch us grow and, help us put us through college. And after that, they said, screw it, we're gonna move back to Mexico because it's too damn cold out here, and
they are not wrong. It's snowing in April.
Valid.
Yeah.
Yes.
So they did. And even though they have nieces and nephews and grandchildren and whatnot here, they were able to make that sacrifice. My mom had the worst time a transition from moving from here to Mexico, because of course the family is here, I'm here and my brothers are here and
the grandkids.
And
was it a culture shock at all for her?
They did visit Mexico quite often. Mm-hmm. Because half of our family is out there. Mm-hmm. But I think for her, probably, because, and even for me too, just not having my parents around, it's just like, damn, where the I need to go visit my parents to have my enchiladas on a regular basis,
right,
to have, that home cooked meal, and for them, I'm sure it was like, shit, I'm sorry.
You could swear all you fucking want to.
Perfect.
You can say the F word as many times.
Yeah.
All right, that makes it a lot better. So they were pretty upset.
Yeah, relax, man. I'm buttoning your shirt. You know what I mean? Well, not all the way. Right. Well, do what
give
you
me a
thing.
Well, do whatever you want to do, as long as it's not grossly inappropriate.
Hey, well, thanks for setting the boundaries, Tara.
You're welcome.
So for them, I think, while they were, they just missed us. My dad, maybe not so much. He was ready. He's tired of the cold. But my mom was like, "Man, I'm willing to sacrifice, my health and whatnot to see my kids, on a daily basis." But
how long did they work in those spaces? How long did your dad work in the factory? How long did your mom's work at McDonald's?
And my dad and my mom started working in Pilsen in a factory. It was actually called the Popiel factory, and I think Popiel is like this, he's an infomercial guy, he sells all kinds of products, and in this factory my mom would like package like bunch of baby bottles in an assembly line, and my dad did something very similar. So they were working that kind of job for maybe 5 years. After that time, they both had different jobs, they got married, and my dad worked in the plant for about 20 years, 20,
wow,
20, something like that. My mom in McDonald's for, I think, maybe 10 to 15 years. And for that, it was difficult, but they would do, that's what they did. And that's actually the lifestyle for many of us. We grow up, we wake up in the morning, our parents are not home, they go to work early. My dad was at work by, 4 or 5 a.m., got out at 6 p.m., got home. My mom was already home maybe by 5 p.m. She would actually be home or leave the house around probably like 7 a.m. So we did get to see him from time to time. But I think that's the nature for a lot of us, at least in Cicero, in the Chicago area, where we don't see our parents for the majority of the day. We're in school also. But when we get home, my dad just got home, put on his chanclas, unbuttoned his shirt or whatever. He got, freshened out. And we would, the beautiful thing about my family that I was very blessed to have is that we would all sit together and, have dinner at least. And my parents were very supportive, and everything we do is, even now, you know, now working in the music industry and you know, with the late nights, you know, they still check up on me and all my brothers. And that was a big blessing to have is the family, you know, the family always comes first.
Yeah.
And so it was a beautiful thing to have, even though now that they live in Mexico, they're like, ¿Por qué no me llamas? Why don't you guys call me, you rat bastards? Like, so
I like
they get,
Spanish.
Mean words, huh? Yeah.
So they still get upset, but so that's a
well, that's beautiful, man. I mean, that's, you know,
for the rat bastards.
Well, right, yeah.
But does it sound like less harsh in your language than it does in English or something?
Or do they just say
or
rat bastards?
Or is it exactly the same?
You know, they'll say cabrones. I think that's in my family. I don't know what if your parents like yell at you like that.
well, yeah, Danny. I mean, you take it back to like where are you from? How'd you grow up
yeah.
a little bit too?
Yeah, we got some. Sure.
Yeah, Memo just wrote the great Mexican American novel.
Right.
Which is really like,
it's gonna be a hard follow.
No, you good.
I mean, I could like picture all of it, you know.
No, he's a great storyteller. I know,
yes.
Man. Yeah, lots of bars.
So I grew up in Joliet, Illinois, from basically since I was born. But my dad was born in Mexico. He was born in San Luis Potosi, and he came up when he was a little kid. And his mother stayed in Mexico, and my aunt basically raised him. From the ages of, you know, probably 7 to like 18.
His sister.
Yeah. She's in her 70s at this point.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
My tia Maggi, super nice lady. All my tias are amazing people.
In Joliet.
In Joliet, yes. And
what was she doing?
She's in Atlanta right now.
No, I mean, but what was she doing, like, you know, for work and?
I don't know. It was probably similar factory work. Mm. But the thing was that my grandfather worked up here at a quarry in Joliet for, I would say, I don't know, probably 10, 15 years, like probably like Memo's dad did at the factory. And he bought a building in Rockdale, Illinois. It's a village inside of Joliet. And it's a property we still have in our family today. And my uncle, my tio Alejandrino, my tio Alex, he lives in it now. So it's just a property we've handed down within our family. And my tia, she passed away like a couple years ago or like a year ago. She was super great, but they took over that property. So we've sort of we've been here for a while, but we're still have our culture, you know. It's mm-hmm. still very strong within our family.
And your dad coming up, he worked also in this space.
No, my dad is an arc welder at Nycor. Yeah.
Break that down, because that sounds, I don't know what that, arc welder?
I thought you knew everything, Kevin.
I know,
like,
that stumped me. No,
exactly.
That stumped me, an
I'll
arc
do
welder.
That on the
so yeah. my dad, when my dad was younger, he worked at a paper bag factory when I was probably like a baby, but like probably when I was around 5 or 7 years old, he got a job at the gas company. So like basically he welds all the gas lines.
Okay.
Wow.
A super dangerous job.
No shit.
Yeah, that doesn't stop.
Fire and gas feel
right.
like. Yeah.
Yeah. One of his friends actually blew up like when I was like 15. That's what I remember.
That's crazy.
Blew up?
Yeah, like he blew.
Not in music industry slang. I think we're.
Yeah. No, he like blew
millions.
Up and okay. he was. Yeah, it was bad. And I seen him after that and he was.
Wait, his friend or your dad?
His friend.
He's still alive?
After?
Yeah, my dad's friend was still alive after he...
What?
Yeah, because they left the gas line on, and when he was welding, you know, when that fire hits it...
Yeah.
Yeah, it just went up.
Did he, like, get thrown?
I don't know, but from what I heard and what I saw, it was...
He was messed up.
Not good?
No bueno.
No bueno.
No bueno.
No bueno, as they say. Yeah, that's rough.
As they say.
So, okay, cool. So your dad was not working...
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was going to... No, please continue.
And my mother, she's been working in real estate for 20 years at this point.
Mm-hmm.
When I was like around 10 years old, she started doing real estate. And
And they're both still in Joliet?
They're both still in Joliet. They love seeing my daughter and my fiance. We go over there. We went over there for Easter. I just talked to her today. Yeah, they're doing pretty good.
Both Joliet and Cicero are some working class ass types of towns.
Yeah, I don't really know much about Joliet.
It's not easy.
It's on the way to
it's,
Chicago from St. Louis.
It's got a prison.
It is, and it's a lot of these Midwestern cities were built in part because of factories, and then a lot of these factories, and you know, in some ways, like in the 60s and 70s, started to disappear and move elsewhere or close down altogether.
Exactly.
And so they depleted the resources of those towns. Mm-hmm. And places like, you know, Chicago was able to reimagine itself in part because it had so many people and so many resources. But places like Joliet, places like Rockford, Dubuque are, you know, in some ways have yet to come back. Although I know that mm-hmm. there's, you know, progress in all these places too. And people are, you know, radically imaginative about how they might begin to reoccupy and reimagine their life. But Joliet and Cicero too, I mean Cicero had the advantage of being so close to Chicago, and also, you know, a lot of Italian mob ties
in Chicago.
It's just on the outskirts, right?
It has a pink line.
It does have a pink line.
That's what I thought.
It's the very last stop.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
One of my buddies calls it the armpit of Chicago.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've heard.
I'm sure you've heard worse.
Yeah. I have.
It's kind of funny.
Town,
he lives in
beautiful town.
He lives in Cicero, and I currently live in Oak Park, and it's like totally polar opposites, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
And about as polar opposite as it can get, because we live in a coach house. You know, like, and, you know, it's weird, you know?
Yeah. So I guess I'm wondering how and at what point did you tell both of your, you know, working class parents that you guys were going to get involved in the music industry? And what was that conversation like when you were like, oh, mom, dad, you know, I'm going to like throw parties. Oh,
yeah. And what was your like first foray? Was it actually throwing parties or was it something else?
No, I was in a band 5 years ago and, because I played guitar for like 16 years. And a memo was actually knew about our band. We're called Amateur Hour. Please don't look us up.
No. People are furiously scrolling their MySpace feed.
But my parents hated it. They despised it.
Right.
They hated
your music or that you were playing music?
That I was just playing music.
De right. Diablo.
Yeah. And
no, I don't know if they had.
I was actually with my ex-girlfriend at the time, too. And I was, you know, and the thing was at the time, I was so, like, fresh out of college, like 25, you know. I thought I was, like, ready for a lot of things, like, but, like, in my head, like, looking back now, you know, I'm going to be 33 this year. You know, just maturity-wise, I wasn't ready for the things I thought I was ready for. So, like, the way I tried to balance my life was out of balance. If that does that make sense?
Yeah, it really does. Yeah, and that's I mean you. I think I feel that now as a much older person. But yeah, I think as a younger person, you know, I mean that's the benefit of aging. You know.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right. So when you, I mean, how did you then? I mean, or do they still take issue with what you do now, or
no,
are y'all cool?
We're cool. We did pretty well this year. I don't really want to say exactly how well we did.
Yeah, no, we're not going to ask, you know, to see your tax
returns.
Neither
receipts.
Yeah,
the actual receipts.
Yeah.
But,
although, you know, we have accountants in
the
room.
I'm saving for a house, so we did okay.
Right, that's right. Okay.
Wow,
that's
cool. Nice.
So in part, they see the success.
Yes.
And they're like,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
My fiance, everybody, you know,
everyone's cool. That's what's up. And Memo, what about you when you told your parents? I mean, similarly, what was your foray into the business and into the culture, and what did your parents think?
So my family has always been pretty supportive, mainly because I've always been in music since a kid. My mom actually pushed me to be in a choir early on when I was like 7 or 8. So I actually still sing and a church choir.
You want to sing a little?
I don't know. What do you want me to sing? I'm terrible
Spanish.
With lyrics.
Sing in Spanish.
I don't know. Yeah. We won't know. You could just say gibberish. We wouldn't even know.
So there's this song in that I always sing for karaoke.
Let's go.
It's called El Triste.
It's called what?
El Triste by José José. It's kind of very R&B-ish, but Spanish R&B from like the 70s.
Of its time.
Of its time. Dan knows all about it too. Have you heard me sing the song?
I have. Do it.
All right. There you go.
So supportive.
I may have to look up these lyrics because, all right, screw it. I'll make it up.
Yeah. Riff. I mean,
we literally don't know Spanish.
Qué triste fue decirnos adiós cuando nos adorábamos más.
You can keep going.
I forget.
That's good.
That's amazing.
Okay, you're about to overuse
it. I don't care. All right, I'll put it away. Sorry. Like, I got a new toy. It. That's why I never brought it out. Damn. That was great.
La golondrina migró.
Don't stop.
Uh-oh.
Presagiando el final.
Mama.
No sé si pueda verte después. All right, that's enough.
Yo, you interrupted us to go. Keep going. That was awesome. No, that was great.
You got me I was like, worked up, you know?
I was like, please, interrupt me with song more often.
I know. I feel like Sway right now. You know what I mean? Like, I feel very amped. That was dope, man.
That was cool. Yeah.
So because you continue to go to church, your folks were like,
so,
yeah, all right.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? That's what it was. Like, okay, he's singing and he's going to church.
He must
I
be.
Love how they, like, qualify things by religion, you know? Just, like, in general, like, parents.
It's a very,
historically.
Always.
There's always, like, oh, so you did that, so you're a good kid.
Yeah, so now,
you can do whatever the hell you want.
It's a very, like, Catholic Mexican thing to
do. Yeah,
is
it?
Yeah.
So, up to this day, I mean, I haven't been to church in quite some time, but...
Don't let your mom know.
Yeah, we won't tell your parents.
Don't tell them. Don't tell them, because they'll be upset. But, I don't know. I think with me singing in church and just being involved, I also DJed throughout my college career and paid off a lot of my college, just my college tuition through DJing. So they saw that there was some money coming in from the music. So for them, it was easy for them to say, okay, you know what you're doing and you have some kind of entrepreneurial spirit in you and it's lucrative.
And what were you DJing? What kind of records? What kind of parties? And what was your DJ name?
Mm. So I've always gone with Memo, DJ Memo. Oh.
What's your full name?
My full name is Guillermo.
Guillermo.
Diminutive is Memo. And I don't know. I just don't want to get too creative. So my very first name when I was a freshman in high school, it was DJ Enzyme.
Why though?
You were big into science?
It sounded
DJ Enzyme.
kind of like in your brain, in your body.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, like,
elemental uh-oh. For your sonic ear.
Yeah, so that was actually
you're his hype man.
Yeah, I would be. I'd be DJ Enzyme's hype man for sure.
But Memo reminds me of the movie Memento. I don't know why.
Oh,
just
Memento,
the word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good movie.
So
so they saw you basically getting that bread, and they were like, and going to church, and they're like, oh, he must be doing something right.
Yeah. Right.
So I quit my job. I was working for a school district in Cicero, District 99, and I was working there for about 2 years right after college. So I got that job, and it was amazing, great benefits, awesome vacation time. But I was draining myself. I was like, man, when I was in college, I was doing all this badass shit, you know, throwing some parties. We actually threw a huge party at the Lacuna Artist Lofts on the rooftop, and you know, that was almost by the end of my college career, over 300 people came over, and I don't know, it was just such a great thing that happened to me. And just to kind of quit all of my music stuff to do marketing for a school district, and kind of it just killed me. For about 2 years, I was like super depressed. I was like, man, what am I doing? I'm in my office from 7:30 to 4 p.m. And, you know, I'm thinking about all these crazy things that are happening in the city. And I'm just kind of draining myself. So I kind of took that leap of faith. And I told my parents, like, man, I'm super, super depressed at work. And they said, well, you know, we noticed that you're much more you're angrier than you usually are. I'm usually pretty jolly, you know. I'm optimistic, but when I was working, I was just always kind of not happy.
Yeah.
So, and I think that's kind of common right now. A lot of
Probably the time to think about something else then at that point, right?
Right. And so I told my parents, you know, and my family and my girlfriend and everyone who's involved in my life, and I told them, like, this is what I'm thinking. This is what I want to do. I've already had a track record of doing things, you know, with the music and going well. And so I kind of want to launch myself that way and dedicate my life. I'd rather be stressed about something I love than being stressed about something that, you know, I don't really care about. So that's what I did. I decided to, you know, talk to my boss. He said, hey, I've got something else in mind. And, you know, he was super supportive too. He was actually a superintendent of Cicero School District. And while I was doing a lot of cool things and I had built a community and I had done a lot of great things in the school district, you know, I was willing to leave all that stuff behind to be happy within myself.
Yeah. Are you going to be, you should be, you're a motivational speaker,
right?
I feel like, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, because you're dropping a lot of gems. I don't know. Is he like this all the time?
Yeah.
Also, you're like
mainly
really
why I hang
calming.
Out with him.
You're just really calming.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So when you guys joined forces.
But how did you meet each other?
So I knew his brother before I knew him. I threw a day festival, like a 2-day festival with the town of Cicero, basically for free with his brother because mm-hmm. his brother worked for the city. And then I booked him as a DJ, and so that's how I met him.
VFW, at the VFW halls,
and
right?
I used to throw shows at a VFW hall like 5 years ago.
Was that a veteran?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And so when you guys linked, there was, I mean, you liked
magic.
What he, yeah, you like, yeah, were you guys like?
We just already knew each
really
other.
Okay.
Yeah, there was that magic there, yeah.
Yeah? What was it about the relationship? Because you guys seemed to be cool, so.
I don't know, we just seemed like, we were very, like, similar personalities, so, like, you know, especially, like, both of you are a business, you know, the brand or whatever you want to call yourself. You have to have partners who are
like-minded
and not only like-minded but like personality wise too, and it's hard to find people like that. It takes a long time.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Well, you've been all my life, Kevin.
Hey, listen, finally found you. But yeah, you're right though, and I think like once you do find those people, it is really exciting to build something with them, you know. I mean, I don't have a ton of those folk in my life, you know.
Yeah,
you need one.
That's right. and so I guess you know, I want to talk more about what you guys have done over the course of the year. What are some of the highlights? What are some of the things that you've learned to build this party? And then, of course, we'll talk about the future and what and how folks could actually participate. But over the course of this year and building Pechanga, what are some of the things that you've learned? And what are some of like the great moments that you've had?
I would say probably one of the great moments was probably the first party.
The first party was awesome.
Yeah, because like basically the first year, we put down all our own money. Like it was all house money, you know. We could have, and up to this point, you know, we haven't lost, and it's been great, you know.
This is like the only thing both of y'all do?
No, I'm a teacher.
Okay.
9 to 5.
Yeah, where do you teach?
I'm a special education teacher.
Oh, okay.
I've been doing it for like 7-8 years.
Oh, wow.
And it's actually perfect for the parties, which sounds like totally weird. Because like, sometimes I'll come into work just off 2 hours of sleep, but I'd be like, yeah. But yeah, the first party was crazy. We were just like, yo, what's the budget? We made this budget. We're like, yo, can we pay everybody?
And but then, coming out of pocket, you just did it.
Yeah,
you didn't have sponsors. You didn't have. You just let's do this.
Yeah,
yeah. And that's exciting though, right? To just do something without worrying about how it's going to all be taken care of, but just doing it. You know?
Yeah. It's in the moment exciting, and then you're like,
"Damn, I'm broke."
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then how about for you, Memo? What would you say was a highlight for you?
The highlight. I like, yeah, the very first party. I think it was, we had thrown an event together. It was like a month before, and it wasn't, I felt it was a great lineup. It was a great concept, but I think we were both kind of like, man, this didn't, we both were discouraged. I was very discouraged.
Yeah, it went terrible. Like the event before the very first Pechanga.
What was that?
It was called the Boogie Down. I was like throwing this like party. But I think the branding was so confusing because when you hear the Boogie Down, you probably think of a 70s disco party.
Pretty much. Or like a
Boogie
Bronx battle.
Right.
Yeah. But it was like a Latin lineup. Basically like what Pechanga is now is what I was doing under the branding of Boogie Down.
Oh, yeah. Maybe, yeah, Boogaloo or something like that.
Yeah.
Boogaloo, yeah.
Yeah, but it went awful. We had like...
We had good people there. I mean, it was a great lineup, but...
Yeah.
Actually, Hannibal Buress came
yeah,
up.
Yeah, he slipped
shit.
Yeah.
But, he came through.
Yeah.
He came through.
But he didn't come for the event.
Yeah, he was like, what the fuck's up with this party?
He was upset, immediately upset.
Yeah.
So our very first event together, I think we had this conversation. I was like, Dan, I don't know if I could continue doing this. I mean, it was a super cold night. It was kind of like tonight, you know, it was just like rainy, kind of gloomy. And, you know, I think I was wearing my shittiest shoes, you know, so the water was seeping in and my socks were all wet. And I think they towed the cars at 3 a.m. on Wednesdays. Luckily my car didn't get towed, but shitty night, great lineup, but super discouraged afterward. And I think after having this conversation and understanding that Dan is in it for the passion and for the love of it, and to me that was like, man, this is commitment. You know, I'm down to partner with someone who's this committed and who could take an L and could, you know, continue going like a train, because that's how I like it too. You know, I could be super discouraged and I could take so many L's, but if we're committed to the craziest idea ever,
the concept
and just go all out, then, you know, we're going to establish that relationship and we're going to develop as, you know, even if the very first one was terrible.
Yeah. And I guess another highlight would be like in December, what was the Posada one? December 27th. It was like December 27th. We had people standing in line in 0 degree weather, which I don't recommend anybody do.
No, yeah, probably not.
But it would. Yeah. We had like 300 plus people in there.
That's dope.
Damn.
Like in like from going.
What's the East Room cat?
It's probably like 400. Probably like 350 somewhere around there.
Tar been in there. Tar's probably had to
Kevin,
kick some people out. All right, I'm gonna stop.
Up.
Okay. Can I just note though? You heard Memo drop all those bars too. When he said take an L and keep it moving like a train. Memo was out
Yo,
here.
Yo,
like,
I did not hear that. Yeah. Let's go, Memo.
Yeah. Look,
actually, I think you got a
Memo,
burgeoning rap career.
I know. Man. Look, DJ Enzyme is about to make his glorious return. You know what I mean?
Memo likes rapping.
Hey,
secretly
likes. Okay, rapping. So if you want to drop,
you
want to
kick a
16. I'm terrible. Like on the spot. Like I'll if you give me a beat. No, don't. Please,
he said, if you give me a beat.
Yo, we got producers.
Kevin, you got a beat?
I'm about to embarrass myself.
All right.
I could sing for you guys.
Yeah.
All right. So you threw the party for the year. What's like the wildest shit that's happened? I mean, what orgy have you had to bust up in the bathroom? Like, what's going on?
Okay,
like,
that we threw our second party.
Is that the East Room?
Our second party.
It's like Las Vegas in there.
Our second party, we threw a reggaeton night. That it was so cracking in there, we couldn't even publish half the pictures that we took. It was just like, it was wild. We could like half the video we took, we couldn't even like put out there.
Right, because we're not banned from the gram.
We're not even trying to be that kind of party either. You know, we're trying to be fun.
Be like a dry snitch.
We want to be tasteful, you know.
We want to be tasteful, but yeah. I mean,
people's whole lives would be ruined off those photos.
Yes. East Room plus reggaeton don't. We
get messages from people and they're like, they tell us, hey, like guys will be like, yo, don't publish these pictures.
My husband
left
me. My husband,
I was
just
with
my
side hoe.
Like,
sorry, peace. I use hoe ubiquitously, women, gender, non-conformity, non-binary.
Anybody.
You know, exactly. Everyone's a hoe.
Wait, I don't know. Okay, anyway.
My mom's not listening to this. It's okay.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say your mom's not a... Anyway, the point...
Of course. That's a given.
Duh.
God, Kevin.
Oh, got weird.
That was probably the wildest, though.
That sounds crazy.
I know.
Don't publish those pictures. No.
All right, so how... first of all, when is the next one? And how can folks... anyone could come. You just got to buy a ticket, right?
Yeah, so our next one is on 420, actually.
Oh, wow. Listen. It's not my favorite holiday or anything.
No. we're bringing a DJ. His name is El Dusty. He's from Corpus Christi. He's one of the bad... He does cumbia trap.
Oh.
Wow. Yeah, I want to hear that.
It's like, hear it's that. Straight... It's fire. It's crazy good.
So, and for those of you who don't know what cumbia is like very... I think it was born in Colombia.
Colombia, yeah.
It's a Colombian style genre, and it's a genre that is kind of swept
the world.
The world at this point.
Yeah.
Can you sing some?
Oh, man.
that's a hard one to do off the top.
I was kidding. I was really kidding.
Yeah. But he's so nice.
I know, but he was like, oh, I'm going to try. I'm going to try. You could do Los Angeles. You'd be like the nicest rapper in the world, though.
You could do Los Angeles.
Como te voy a olvidar.
No, that's all I got. Yeah.
Estás tú. All right.
Okay. Get a little taste.
Yeah. A little taste.
Yeah, but continue.
So yeah, so this is the next party coming up. 420.
This is at Sub T. So what Dan was saying is we've expanded to a point where we can have a weekend night. And a lot of these venues actually are asking for us to come out, so we kind of have to shop around sometimes, and Sub T has been gracious enough to give us one of their top floor, and actually we piloted to see if it was even going to work out in September.
Yeah. September of last year.
And it worked out. That was an awesome event. I was actually doubting that when I was like, damn, I don't know if we can pull it off.
I told Memo, I was like, yo, I'm going to book 3 bands on top, 3 DJs on the bottom. Don't worry about it.
And I worried. And then the night came and it was beautiful. We had a packed house. It was a packed house. Yeah. And it was like almost like a festival, like a pachanga festival. And that's kind of how I see it, like the Sub T show. It's we have the bottom floor. Well, this upcoming one won't be the bottom floor, just the top floor.
But yeah,
going forward we're
for the subterranean shows we mix it up. So we had Chai Tulani open up the pilot show.
Yeah.
And then for the second one in January we had Kaina open up for
the homie.
And so we like to mix it up among, because it's hard to book just straight like Latinx like bands or acts or like cumbia band, because there's only so many in Chicago, and to fly people in, you know, it gets very expensive, you know, things add up. So the easiest way to do it is to integrate, you know, hip-hop, some soul acts, you know, open up the night, you know, just like a mellow vibe to start out the night, and then, you know, get that party going towards the end with like some badass local bands.
Dope. And so where are you guys headed then? Like what is the year to come for you all?
It's kind of crazy. We're working on like 3 festivals this summer. Wow. Starting after the April 20th show. It's going to hit
the
fan. We
have Cinco de Mayo.
Cinco de Mayo.
Both my roommates are DJing. Yeah. And our producer, DJ Cashera.
Oh, yeah. Dope. Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be, this show's going to be cracking.
Yeah. We got Cinco de Mayo. We basically have dates for the whole year at East Room and Subterranean.
Okay.
That's crazy.
We got a lot of big announcements coming up. A lot of collaborators have been like reaching out to us, and we've been approached by brands and stuff. So things have been moving in a very positive direction while maintaining the concept as well.
Yeah. That's and is tight. Is the goal to kind of get out of the day gigs and have this be your soul gig? And Memo, is this your soul gig or you?
Yeah, so this is a part of my soul gig. So I do like marketing and creative services for brands, and this is kind of like a proof of concept for, you know, showcasing the awesome work that we can do. And Pachanga has definitely been kind of a gateway to, or a net for brands and different people to approach us. One of the events that we're working on is, we'll be at Millennium Park, that we're creating like event marketing services. And so I'm excited to announce that one. And we've been working closely with some small businesses as well. And so it is my full gig, and sometimes I'm very, very, like, that's why I'm very cautious and like very I don't know. I guess I'm the one who gets scared about a lot of things, because this is my job, you know. There's a lot of pressure in it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But eventually the plan is to kind of just bigger, more.
I'd like to stop teaching within the next couple of years.
Okay.
By the time I'm 35, I'd like to stop. I'll be 33 this year.
Nice.
2 years.
And so who are some of the folks that inspire you guys? I mean, this could be musicians. This could be other parties, festivals. I mean, where, you know, when you're building this space, when you're building this party, when you're building the brand, you know, what are some of the folk that you take inspiration from?
I feel like folks like such as yourself, at the YCA people, the Louder Than the Bomb people, the Cumbia Sasso cats like David and Calixta, the people from Little Village, Villa Palooza,
Pilsen Fest.
Who else?
I think also experiences of traveling too.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Pachanca.
Pachanca music culture.
Yeah, with Dos Santos. They're an awesome band that I think they're doing.
And a lot of the hip-hop cats, too. That's how I started out, because I would take my camera everywhere with me. So I started shooting, like, the Styx Jam Nights.
Yeah. Mm.
Like, I sort of stumbled into the scene by... I just brought my camera to one of the Styx Jam Nights at Subterranean. And it just so happened when Hurt Everybody was, like...
Man,
I was like,
about to be everywhere. Yeah,
they were about to blow, and I just so happened to record Leather Corduroys that night.
Wow, nice.
At Styx Jam?
Yeah, and and mind you, I didn't know who any of these people are,
right.
And I'm in this crowd of like 19-year-olds trying not to break my camera I just bought, and then it moved on to like, oh, whoa. Then I saw Saba that same night. It was Leather Corduroys, Hurt Everybody, and Saba all in the same lineup.
Stellar. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Aaron Allen Kane was hosting.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I got pictures of all this, and it's kind of cool to go back and think about.
That's a good night.
And because I remember seeing you at the Lincoln Hall show of Saba, because I was with Sierra that night, and Sierra's party was like the next day.
Mm.
And you like congratulated her.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know you at the time.
Sierra,
so
AMFM.
I didn't really say anything to you, but But Saba, and something he said that night, I don't know if you remember this, but he was like on the stage with like all the Pivot gang. He was like just talking about like the family of Pivot, how like they all just came together to sell out this place, and it was just super inspiring. And that's where it all kicked off for me in my head. You know?
Yeah, that's dope. And what are you guys listening to or watching or reading that's kind of, you know, giving you some fire right now?
Man, the other day I spent like 2 hours reading The Alchemist to some friends. It's the weirdest thing. Yeah, like
that was generous of you.
My friend was just talking about that book. I need to read it.
We were hanging out, and I was like, you know, back in 7th and 8th grade, teachers used to read to us, and I was the kid who would doze off throughout the whole thing. And, you know, I was like, man, maybe there was a reason why these teachers read, because maybe there's something internally that, you know, maybe you feel good after you read. I do feel good when
I read. Yeah.
And so I picked up The Alchemist, and I was telling my guys, I was like, hey, have you guys ever heard of The Alchemist? It's a book about life's journey. I had already read it, but I wanted to pick it up, and these guys were not doing anything. I was like, I want to be productive. I don't want to hang out or play, you know, PlayStation or watch TV or do something stupid. Let me read you a story. So I sat down and I started reading the story of a shepherd. I don't think he has a name in the story, but 2 hours of reading to these guys, and they were just captivated by the whole thing, and I was acting it out, you know, using, you know, emphasizing dynamism with my voice, and and they were
we do that.
Yeah, we should, story hour.
Yeah, story time.
That's beautiful,
amazing.
Man. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. I read to my daughter also, for 30 minutes every night.
Oh, that's beautiful.
But isn't that book full of signs? It's about like watching for signs and stuff.
Yeah, it talks about omens. So it talks about how sometimes life hands you really beautiful opportunities, and you know, the next day it might not be as beautiful, but you need to take those signs, whether it's an object, whether it's meeting someone like Dan or being here today, and using that to take you to the next step. And you know, only life knows what that next step is, but you have to have faith towards, you know, closer to well, in that story it talks about how there are warriors, and these warriors are going to kind of like kill off this, I guess, their tribe. You know, I'm kind of forgetting this, but
sorry.
Hopefully.
Look, we're going to get you back for a 2-hour read of this book. Right? It's going to be terrific.
It's just going to be story time with Memo.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's our spinoff.
So, I know, our next podcast.
Yeah.
The cool thing about that story is that he's able to you know, through wind and through some kind of like just his force of faith, he's able to basically end the war. This crazy battle, I don't know if it was a war, but it was through his faith and just focusing on his faith, and that was it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that book is dope.
But the reason I say is because today my friend was like, I'm reading this book, and now you're talking about this book, and it's a sign.
It's a sign.
Oh, my God. Y'all are
that's what the
bunch
book
of hippies
is about.
Wow, yeah, okay. All right, it's cool. I mean, that was
the
cool.
The book is about signs, and that seemed like a sign to me. So.
Okay, well.
Life's journey. And
yeah, word. No, you're right. You got to read the signs.
You literally couldn't even say it.
I know.
Like,
I'm sorry.
Look believable.
I know. I couldn't. Well, fellas, where can folks find you and where can folks find the party?
On Instagram, you can find us at Pachanga Chicago. On Facebook, Memo?
Pachanga Chicago on Facebook. So facebook.com/Pachanga Chicago.
And then Ahua Media?
And Ahua Media as well. So we've got a lot of cool things coming up. We've got a show actually next week. April 11th
at Emporium.
So we do a few other other shows along with Pachanga. We're bringing a Ciudad Juarez band with another cool Chicago local band, Los Goldfires, and we just keep in touch and
keeping it moving.
Yeah,
keeping
and moving. Twitter and the gram, same.
Twitter.
Pachanga Chicago.
Okay,
Twitter as well.
All right, fellas, man, it's been a real
thank
pleasure.
Y'all.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah.
Thank you guys
thank
so
you
much
for serenading us.
Yo,
most importantly,
that, yeah,
thank you.
Yeah. All right, thanks, fellas.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you, DJ Exhibit, for the beat.
Langston Nelson for the logo and art.
Big up, WGN Radio. Shout out to our super producer, DJ Cash Era.
And boss man, Todd Manley.
Thank you, Dami.
And Marlena, the snack provider.
Shout out, Renna, the official photog in the corner store.
Stay up with us, Shy Corner Store, on Instagram, Twitter, and SoundCloud.
And please, y'all, please rate and subscribe on iTunes, Apple Music, SoundCloud, and wherever you listen to a podcast. Consider giving us those 5 stars.
And tell a friend.
And thank you for listening and rocking with us. We'll see you next week.